ATC is go.
Pegasus is go.
ATC is go.
Copy, S is go.
Houston flight is go.
Polycom.
STM is go.
Safety comms is go.
STU is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. Tuesday night edition of the show, 13th of July already. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig, and how are you this gloomy day? It's been raining here all day.
You know, it's been looking like it wants to rain here in north central Nebraska, although we did have a couple of sprinkles. We did have little bit of thunder this morning, but other than that, it hasn't done a darn thing but be humid today. But we are supposed to get rain tomorrow. Now, I got to tell folks, in various parts of Nebraska, clear on the east side of Nebraska and west of us in Nebraska, last weekend, last Friday night, Saturday morning, my God, did they have hail and wind and rain and holy crap.
Yeah, some of those pictures you showed me of those hailstones were unbelievable.
Bigger than softballs. Literally bigger than softballs. Destroyed a lot of crops in Nebraska. That's never a good thing. You know, and while, you know, farmers have crop insurance and things like that, so they'll, you know, they'll get by. It creates a rising price situation for anything that's made with corn and wheat and soybeans and so on and so forth, because there's going to be a big shortage now because of this. Plus, there's a lot of property damage, you know, with hailstones that big, you can imagine. The power companies have been out for four full days now repairing power poles that literally got snapped off in high winds. Out in, I think it was either Ainsworth or Shadron, which is clear out in the western panhandle of Nebraska, they had wind at 86 miles an hour.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, those folks out there, they're doing a lot of cleanup and a lot of damage assessment and things. So, you know, we're thinking about them and hoping for the best for them. And, you know, I haven't heard reports of livestock getting killed, but that will happen when you have hailstones the size of softballs.
Sure.
You know, things. Sure. So I'm sure those stories are yet to come. But, you know, typical Nebraska weather, you never know what you're going to get. So.
Oh, fun. You guys have some of the worst weather I've ever heard of in the country.
Yeah, we prefer to think of it as a variety of weather.
Yeah, it's a variety, you know, all right.
It's a variety. You and I spent a little time, excuse me, over the weekend watching Sir Richard Branson go into space.
That was fantastic. I look at it as a big, you know, leap in American exceptionality, but I kind of think that instead of sending tourists into space, you know, that money could be better spent on serious scientific space studies.
Well, but we have we have NASA for that. We've got Elon Musk, you know, and SpaceX doing that. You know, somebody's got to just do the tourism thing. And if that's the niche that Branson's going to fill, great.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. It's private money done by a private company. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. But I'd rather see us, you know, getting to Mars.
Yeah,
getting back to Moon.
But that's not Richard Branson's thing. You know?
No, it isn't. He's an adventurer, basically.
He is. He has been his whole life. This is what he enjoys doing. Elon Musk even bought a ticket to go on a ride in one of Branson's space shots. So,
I know. I saw that.
How magnanimous is that? I mean, seriously, you know, that's one entrepreneur supporting another entrepreneur. They're both in the space race, but at different ends of the spectrum. And I mean, to me, that's just kind of a cool thing. I mean,
Branson's not in the space race. He's in the business to make money race off of space, which is fine. I'm not saying anything is wrong with that, but he's not in the space race per se.
Well, you got to love capitalism.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, you're a flaming liberal.
It's absolutely fine.
We've got a big show for you tonight, folks. A couple of segments coming up you will not want to miss a minute of. Diane is talking about how a nation collapses.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's not scary.
Not pulling any punches. She's just going to tell it like it is. I'm talking about liberal hatred versus historical fact. And I'm not pulling any punches either.
Somehow historical fact and liberals just don't jive together by any means.
No, they sure don't. And folks, it's going to be an eye-opener for some people.
Yes.
You know, it is. And what are you going to follow that up with next week? You're working on a piece on Cuba.
I'm taking on the whole Cuba to-do now, for lack of a better word. You know, we're hearing one thing in this country that they're protesting because of COVID and a lack of medicine. No, don't listen to the media here. They're protesting because of a lack of food, yet the prices of what food they do have are raising. There is massive power cutbacks and outages across the country. They want their liberties and freedoms. They see what the rest of the world has via the internet. And what did the first thing the Cuban government did when the protests all started is cut the internet access.
Right. Which is
a little more than we're being told.
Well, and next Tuesday, I'm going back into this race-baiting crap that the liberals are all about, and I am going to expose some things in that article next Tuesday that's going to blow some people's minds.
All right.
You know, that's what we got coming up for you next week, but let's start with quick hitters, and we start in Texas tonight, and that is where Democrat lawmakers in Texas, cowards that they are.
Oh dear, I got a pop-up.
Oh my.
Where did that come from? Whew, that was weird. Okay.
Okay.
Back to what we're doing.
Yeah, in Texas, the Democrat lawmakers, cowards that they are, have fled the state so they will not have to vote on an election reform bill. But Diane, as I understand it, Governor Greg Abbott, a great conservative, has a little something lined up for those Democrats when they filter back into the state of Texas.
Yes, he actually said that once they step back into the state, they will be arrested and brought back to the Capitol, and we will be conducting business.
Good for him. Yeah, now they're flaunting it. One of those lawmakers, I can't remember this twit's name, but he actually took a photo of a salad and he said, "My first meal is a fugitive." Put it up on Twitter.
You're talking about Chris Turner, I think?
Yeah, that's the idiot.
Yeah, a real idiot.
You know? Look, I'm all for him being arrested. You know, I mean, this is Texas we're talking about, but of course it's liberals that we're talking about too. You know, if you're a liberal in Texas, there's a damn good chance you're just a yellow-bellied coward. And that's what these people turned out to be. Oh, we don't want to vote on that. We'll just flee the state. Well, you know where they got this idea. They got it from Wisconsin a few years ago. They did that.
Oh, yeah, and it didn't turn out very well for them either.
No, it didn't. All they've done here is delay the inevitable.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes.
You know, and I don't think they're helping their chances of getting reelected in the next runabout.
Yeah, well, Abbott is very good, and he's doing 100% the right thing. And I'm telling you right now, Florida and Texas are leading the country in doing what's right for the country.
Well, let's not leave South Dakota out of that.
Well, the only reason I'm not mentioning them, and you know I'm a big fan of Kristi Noem, is the population size. They're not really affecting the country like the bigger states are. But I understand what you're saying, and I do support her 100%.
Size isn't everything, and I'll tell you something, Kristi
Noem. I'm talking population. I'm not talking size of the state.
I understand. I stick by what I said. Size isn't everything. Kristi Noem is a real thorn in the side of the Obama regime, with Biden acting as the puppet.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And Noem was at CPAC over the weekend, and okay. she was the lead-in speaker for Trump.
Yes, she's excellent. Hey,
you know,
like I said, if we don't have a Trump DeSantis ticket, I want a DeSantis Noem ticket.
I'm all for it. I am all for it. So mm-hmm. Greg Abbott, governor of Texas, he says, "Yep, when they come back, we're going to arrest them, we're going to haul them down to the Capitol building, and we're going to plant them in their seats, and we're going to pass this bill." Good for him.
Yes, very good for him. Kudos.
You know, and I hope, I don't know, but I hope there might be some other penalties involved for these idiots taking off like a bunch of lily-livered cowards. Now, I had a pop-up.
Back. Oh, okay.
That was that little sounder that folks heard. Right there. Ping.
Well, that's what happened with mine. I don't know what's going on. But, you know, folks, there's a lot of issues now going on with the internet. And I don't know if it has to do with President Trump taking a lawsuit now out against them. And kudos for him. But a lot of people are having issues the past couple of days with the internet.
That's a fact, and it's going to get worse. In fact, last night, Tucker Carlson on his show launched into an absolute blistering of the DNC, Democratic National Committee, and liberals at large, because apparently they are now going to be censoring our text messages.
Yes. Well, they've always had the ability to capture and store them, but now they're actually going to censor what we send. Like if I send you a message, Craig, about what I think of Obama, and I use politically incorrect words, I could be called to task from a private message. Not anything that went out, you know, to the public, but just a message between you and I.
Right. It's crazy. Now, the DNC and the liberals, they say, well, we just don't want any misinformation about COVID being spread around. But anybody that thinks they're going to keep their censorship to COVID needs a checkup from the neck up.
Well, they've been they are the ones that have been guilty about spreading misinformation about COVID since day one.
Well, no. Now, let me explain this, because I thought last, I was watching, my wife and I were sitting there watching Tucker last night, and I thought he did a masterful job in explaining all this. Misinformation, this is according to Tucker, and I fully agree with him. Misinformation is not necessarily false information. Misinformation is the information the Democrats, the liberals, the DNC, it's information they don't want out in public. Doesn't necessarily mean it's false. Yeah, it's not false information. It's not the information they want out. It's not their propaganda.
Well, you know what they can do with their propaganda.
Careful. There are places where the sun don't shine. That's what you're telling me.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. This has gone too far. And the problem is the Republicans are allowing it to happen because they're not fighting back.
And that's the biggest part of the problem right now. You know, oh, nobody wants to upset anybody. Well, for God's sakes, upset somebody.
Yeah, upset the whole apple cart here, and let's get back to the way we used to be. Because right now, our country is a laughingstock over the world.
If they start censoring stuff on COVID, okay, and let's just think back. They, you know, on all the social media stuff, they've been censoring COVID information for over a year, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you wrote an article about ivermectin.
Yes.
Okay. A perfectly good treatment for COVID, and mm-hmm. it can act as a prophylactic as well. Mm-hmm. They didn't want any of that information out there. Hydroxychloroquine, they didn't want any of that information out there. The fact that masks cause more problems than they solve, and the masks are useless, they didn't want any of that out there. It's all true. But according to the liberals, that's misinformation.
Well, Craig, let's just say it has gone so far. I might as well tell our listeners, the other day, I got permanently kicked off LinkedIn because of my COVID article.
Yeah, this is a weird thing, folks. Diane, she shoots me over a message bright and early in the morning. Says, Skype me ASAP. So I know something's up. And she says, you're not going to believe this. I got kicked off of LinkedIn. For what? She says, for my latest article. Well, the latest article, you know, wasn't the COVID article.
No.
Okay? And I said, there's nothing in that article. There's nothing about your latest article that's a problem. And we were just like, what in the hell are they doing? You know? Well, then it dawned on us. It was the article before that.
Yes. Defectors, COVID-19, and something else was the title. Yeah. And I put in things about ivermectin, where the virus came from. I had things backed up with facts. I had quotes from people that haven't been out yet. And that had to be it. Because all I ever post on LinkedIn is the show.
Yep.
And my articles. I don't put memes. I don't put blocks of copy. I don't do any of that. And then I find out from a friend of mine, someone of name, but we're not mentioning any names, that person was kicked off also.
Yeah. And, you know, this whole thing, if you think they're going to limit their censorship to COVID, once they start, there's no stopping it.
Exactly. Anything, and the Republicans, you know, some Republicans are speaking out about it, but nobody is doing anything. Actions speak louder than words. They keep forgetting that.
Yeah, and they're not taking any action. Everything that we say, everything that we text, I mean, it's going to get to the point where they're going to be listening to the phone calls, not just reading the texts, but listening to the phone calls. And if you're having a conversation with a good friend of yours and you're talking about, you know, Trump, hoping Trump maybe runs, or hoping Ron DeSantis runs, they might just cut off your call.
They might cut off your phone service.
Yeah. I mean, once they start, there is no stopping it.
That's why 2022 is so important, guys, because we can reverse all of this if the Republicans can take back the House and actually keep the Senate by a big majority.
Yeah, I mean, it's 2022 is now more important than a presidential election.
Yeah, it's come down to that.
It really is. You know, so buckle up. It's going to be a wild ride until we get there. Speaking of COVID, there's more information now coming out. Remember, it was a few weeks ago that the emails from Dr. Fauci went public, and we learned a whole lot in those emails. We learned proof positive that Fauci was connected to the lab in Wuhan, China. But now, there's even more information about his connection to Wuhan.
Yeah, and part of it is personal connections, and part of it involves monies, our taxpayer monies. And also, there's little secrets coming out that the Chinese government actually asked the NIH to delete key gene data. That's the stuff that was manipulated, folks, that we believe turned a naturally occurring animal virus into a bioweapon of sorts.
You know, we speculated on a lot of this early on.
And we were right about all of it.
And we were called conspiracy theorists. Oh, they're crazy people. Well, now it turns out that those theories are facts.
Yeah, including the fact that the agency that Fauci actually heads, along with EcoHealth Alliance and Chinese scientists, all work together. This, I'm beginning to think that this, yes, maybe it accidentally was released too soon, but it was going to be released no matter what, folks.
Yeah, this was a done deal. It was going to happen. That's perfectly obvious now. And I'll tell you this too, folks. I don't think we're done gleaning information from these Fauci emails. I think there's going to be more coming.
I don't think we are either.
Yeah,
and you know why, Craig? Because too many variants are waiting in the wings to be released on us in the fall, in the winter, in the spring. This is going to keep happening, folks. So then they'll keep at you. You need the jab. You need the jab. This. Pretty soon you'll be so loaded up with COVID vaccines that you won't be able to fight a simple cold.
Well, and you know, it's funny you say that, because I was just thinking the other day, you know, society today, we have, and this is before COVID, okay, we have become so reliant on disinfecting everything. People with the disinfectant hand stuff, people disinfecting everything in their house constantly. I mean, you know, just to a maniacal standpoint. Disinfecting everything your children touch. Well, it's no wonder so many people are getting sick with stuff, because you disinfect everything, you lower your ability to repel infections naturally, and then any germ that comes along, you're going to get it.
That's why some of us are never really sick. Like me, for instance, I haven't had the cold, the flu, a sore throat, anything since 2004.
It's because Diane lives like a swine. She doesn't disinfect anything.
No, it's because as a kid, I was exposed to things. I got sick like kids did. But I built up natural immunities.
Right. Kids today don't.
They don't. The mothers are too busy. Oh, we got a 20-second wash your hands and then put that Purell stuff on top of it. You're not allowing natural immunity to kick in.
Right. And it's a problem, and now we're seeing the ill effect of it.
Exactly.
But there's going to be a lot more coming in the emails from Fauci. We're not done learning the depth of that depravity. So
yes, absolutely. In fact, some are actually saying now with these emails exposing certain things, Fauci actually needs to be brought up on charges of perjury.
Yes.
For his lying before the congressional committee a few months ago,
and
I agree with that.
100%. Finally, in the quick hitters tonight, gangbangers in Chicago now outnumber police in Chicago by a rate of almost 10 to 1. If you're wondering why there's so many shootings and murders and killing and violent crime in Chicago right now, just look at the numbers. There's almost 10 times as many gangbangers in Chicago as there are police officers, and they're defunding their police department.
Yeah, they're defunding the police department, and some of the cops are so fed up, they're retiring early.
Yeah, who can
blame
them?
Because their hands are tied behind their back. In other words, what Chicago is doing is what Obama did to our troops. You don't shoot to kill. You got to win the hearts and minds in overseas. It was the enemy here in Chicago. You got to win the hearts and minds of the gangbangers. Yeah. I mean, this is totally out of hand.
Well, here's a perfect example of what we're talking about. Over the weekend, this guy, he's a rapper. Okay. Obviously, he's not just a musical artist. All right.
Mm-hmm.
He was in jail. He was at the Cook County Jail. He'd been an inmate there for a while. Mm-hmm. And he got released over the weekend. He got all the way across the street from the jail before he was attacked, shot, and killed. He had, and I'm not exaggerating, 64 bullet holes in him. Absolutely nobody has been arrested to this point. They have no suspects at this point. Okay? Now think about this. Think about this.
A revenge killing.
Yes, but think about it. This happened across the street from the jail.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the first time. A week ago, somebody else was shot down across the street from the jail when they got out of jail. This is how brazen it's become in the city of Chicago.
But there's also something a little bit fishy about that. How do they know when their target is being released? They were there waiting and ready for the execution.
Right. Somebody's stepping them off.
Some kind of communication going on from inside the jail that shouldn't be going on.
Right. Somebody is tipping them off. Now, whether that comes from inside the jail or from inside one of the gangs, don't know. But this, you know, and it's a good point, but it's not the point. Because the point is, these gangbangers in Chicago, and I guarantee you, none of them bought their guns legally. They have no fear of the police. They're pulling off an execution where they shoot a guy 64 times,
right,
literally across the street from the jail. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's staggering.
But Craig, don't worry about it, because Biden said, we know when we utilize trusted community members and encourage more community policing, we can intervene before the violence erupts. Oh, such a unicorn and fairy dust philosophy.
It's ridiculous. Absolutely insane.
Absolutely.
Well, look, we've gotten to the bottom of the segment here, so we need to take a quick break. We've got a couple of segments coming up. Diane's going to be talking about how a nation collapses in just a couple of minutes. Then a little bit later in the show, I'm talking about liberal hatred versus historical fact. couple of hard-hitting segments coming up, folks. You do not want to miss any of it. Stay with us. There's more Right Side Patriots after this.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's long-time Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out the National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, and Diane Sori at the Patriot Factor, getting you through a Tuesday night edition of the show. Welcome to it. If you miss any part of it, we hope you don't. But if you do, go to rspradio1.com tomorrow morning and become one of the pod people. Click the podcast button. It'll be right there for you.
Yes.
All right, Diane, so you have decided to take on the, you know, a lighthearted topic, how a nation collapses, because we are seeing this, right?
We're experiencing it. But let's start by saying a few weeks ago on his Fox News show, Tucker Carlson rightly stated that leaders and politicians who protect criminals cause nations to collapse. And while this is surely true, as it's sadly something we are currently bearing witness to, what with Democrat-controlled cities and states basically surrendering to the likes of BLM, Antifa, and other police-hating nasty sorts, there is another thing that helps to collapse a nation as well, as in turning that nation's military into a militarily impotent, politically driven, anything but fighting force. And how can this be accomplished? Simply by turning a nation's military not only against their founding documents, but by rewriting said nation's history itself, or at least trying to. And just like with our leaders now clearly protecting the criminal element, our beloved America sees a partisan-driven military hierarchy turning our troops against the very document they all took an oath to protect, as in the Constitution of these United States, while at the same time defaming our founding fathers and our nation's history as well. So how and why is this happening here? The how can be answered with three what I consider to be vulgar words: critical race theory, and with the why being answered by saying, erroneously of course, that America's birth itself was shaped by racism. And not so surprisingly, these are the beliefs being taught by U.S. Air Force Academy political science professor Lynn Chandler Garcia, a teacher, not surprisingly, of Marxist theory, and a woman who believes that critical race theory, in reality an offshoot of the Marxist ideology critical theory, of one Herbert Mancusi and Eric Frome, which stated that there are power structures which enslave the minds of what they consider the oppressed in society. And this is the nonsense Lynn Chandler Garcia believes needs to be taught to all Air Force cadets so that they can understand how our nation was shaped by, quote, racism and inequality. Her words, not mine. In fact, Craig, this woman goes even one step further by claiming that our Constitution itself is what brought about inequality, that our nation's history alone proves that racism has shaped both foreign and domestic policy, and that our nation's first president, George Washington, was an overt racist, which he was not.
You know, you can't be a person in her position and doing what she does and spewing the nonsense that she spews without leaving a trail that stinks to high heaven. So from a basic standpoint, who is this woman exactly?
Well, basically what Professor Chandler Garcia is, but just another Democrat socialist who hates America and who is now teaching young people who want to serve and protect the country they love to instead hate that very country. And know that this is the key very professor who espouses the same anti-American rhetoric as does Biden's Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman, General Mark Milley, the very general who brought his own personal agenda to Congress when he recently told congressional members that critical race theory, quote, is not unpatriotic, and that, quote, recruits should be open-minded and be widely read, meaning simply he wants them to be woke. But the fact is that not only is CRT unpatriotic, but its goal is to teach both young, impressionable minds and the blind following masses how to hate and to be ashamed of not only who they personally are and who we the people are as a nation, but to be ashamed of our nation herself. A cleverly crafted guilt trip to the nth degree, setting the stage for reparations that must never be. And it doesn't help that critical race theory made major inroads into America's public schools as well as into our military during the Obama years, for no man did more to discredit and defame our military via his ever infamous apology tour and to propagate racism as did Barack Hussein Obama. Remember, this is the man who, while president, stated these very words, quote, racism is a part of America's DNA and history. And he added that, quote, it's not just a matter of overt discrimination. Societies don't overnight completely erase everything that happened 200 to 300 years prior, end quote. So I guess Obama relished in covering the gamut of America's history with that one, didn't he? And it sure didn't help those in uniform or those contemplating wearing said uniform to hear Obama's words to the effect that those fighting in Afghanistan, quote, must fight to win the hearts and minds of the Afghan people, as in fight only by what was then his deemed politically correct rules of engagement, as in with hands figuratively tied behind one's back. Simply, fight a military operation not truly intent on defeating the enemy, in this case the Taliban insurgency, but Craig, just give them what amounts to a good slap on the wrist. And this is the same insurgency who will now, with Biden pulling us out of Afghanistan, surely reign supreme once again.
Well, and we're starting to see the downfall of Afghanistan, even today. I mean, we just pulled out a week or two ago, and we're already seeing that. You know, you can always trace the smell back to the head skunk, and in this case, that's Obama. And what Obama wants, and he's still calling the shots, Biden might be sitting in the Oval, but Obama's calling the shots, and what he wants obviously, and you correct me if I'm wrong, is a military that's no longer a fighting force in a military sense, but culture and social warriors, right?
That's all he wants. That's all he wants. But, you know, you have to understand, as one of our nation's foremost military academies now has a professor teaching our future military leaders the CRT mantra, the mantra that racism is not the result of nature or biology, but that racism is a what's called social construct invented solely to exploit and control certain minorities, particularly black people, and that racism is embedded within our institutions, our legal system, and even in the U.S. Constitution, hence in our military as well. But I say a bunch of politically driven nonsense, for no group of people in America upon emancipation have been given more race-based advantages than black people. And no group of people, not all, of course, have squandered away said advantages more than black people have, egged on by Democrat politicians, of course. Democrat politicians who to this day sadly remain black Americans' mental slave masters, with most of them not even being aware of it. Now, as for Joint Chief of Staff Chairman General Mark Milley, who should not only be ashamed of himself, but in my opinion, be knocked down a rank or two or more, he made his support of CRT truly partisan in nature when he became an activist general, pushing forward a politically driven agenda when he stated before Congress, quote, the need for greater understanding of the driving forces behind the Capitol siege by Trump supporters who try to stop Congress from certifying Joe Biden's election win, end quote. And what does CRT have to do with what in reality was a low-grade riot at best? Not a damn thing. Simply, the general claim that thousands of people, a lie right there, actually stormed and entered the Capitol building to overturn the Constitution of the United States of America. What caused that is what he said he wanted to find out. I want to remain an open mind here, quote, thus single-handedly making what was an election protest racist in nature. And this, in turn, allowed for critical race theory to make more inroads into both the public consciousness and discourse, as well as into our military, with his adding these words, quote, I do think it's important, actually, for those of us in uniform to be open-minded and be widely read, end quote. And to General Milley, I say, how about those in uniform instead being well read in true American history, as in American history before your good buddy Obama led the charge to tinker with our nation's past truths, American history where the North alone did free the slaves from the chains the Democrats kept them in. How about American history truths regarding blacks fighting alongside Union soldiers and where they ever so proudly served in all of America's modern-day wars? And how about the truths relative to the strides in business and industry that black Americans have made? And how about all the educational opportunities black Americans have been afforded and taken? And most importantly, how about the fact that more and more black Americans are starting to see the truth about who and what really is keeping them in said mental chains, with critical race theory being a link in that very chain? And with CRT itself being anything but truthful in nature, it becomes just another link forged to help fulfill Obama's not-to-be-forgotten agenda of fundamentally changing America. And to those who say that critical race theory is key to ending racism in America, and to what some say is ongoing racism and discrimination in our military as well, I say stop judging good and bad, right from wrong, and acceptable versus unacceptable behaviors based upon one's skin color alone. For the fact is, and will always remain, that one's actions do speak louder than one's words. In fact, critical race theory theorists, those like Lynn Chandler Garcia and General Mark Milley, both of whom I believe are a danger to our freedoms, can take their white privilege and all its assorted race-baiting anti-American nonsense and shove it where the proverbial sun don't shine.
Case you know, closed. I've had it with this General Milley Vanilli.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this guy is a fake and a fraud. And his whole thing is political. He wants to be the little political puppy dog.
An activist general.
Yeah. We don't need that. What we need in our military is leadership whose sole goal is to defeat the enemy. You know, what's a guy like Milley Vanilli going to do when we have to go to war against a country of primarily black people? Are we not going to do that now? Because, that would be imperialistic and it would show white supremacy. If they're trying to kill us, I want to kill them over there, not over here. You know, I mean, I want our military to go out and do the job, but are we getting to that point, do you think?
The point I believe we're getting to, at least for me and people that think like me, is we're sick of this whole black nonsense. Okay? The North freed the slaves. The Democrats kept the slaves in chains. Reparations were paid to them with Union bloodshed. We've been paying for them since the end of the war with all their race-based advantages given. We owe them nothing anymore. Nothing. And of course, I am not talking about all black people, because the majority are good, decent people, just like the rest of us.
Well,
but when you have a group of people, Craig, that allow a minority to represent the majority, that's where the problem lies. And until the good, decent black people, who are the majority, start putting the minority in their place and standing up and saying, "You don't speak for us," we're going to keep having this nonsense.
Well, and let's be very clear about the element of which you speak. You're, like you say, you're not talking about the vast majority of the black community. You're talking about the ones with their mouths open, their hands out, and their pants at half staff.
Yeah, the BLM sorts, the Nation of Islam sorts, the whole vocal group that thinks they speak for the sum whole of all black people. But the problem is, until the sum whole of black people tells them to shut the hell up,
right,
we're going to keep having this. Yes, we do have black people that are fighting against them.
Right.
We do.
We do. But not
there's
enough.
Not enough.
You know, I mean, it's a problem. But I'll tell you, when it comes to the military, in General Milley Vanilli, you know, mm-hmm. If this is allowed to continue... I don't mean 10 years, 20 years, 30 or 40 years down the road. I'm talking 1 to 5 years down the road. Mm-hmm. If it's allowed to continue, we will not, as a nation, we will not go to war if a country attacks us. I mean just blatantly attacks us. Okay? We will not go to war with a country where the primary skin color is different than white.
Right.
Because, that just wouldn't be right. We would be, you know, showing white supremacy, and we can't do that. I mean, so it limits the countries you're going to be able to go to war with based on skin color, you know.
Yeah, but you have to understand the countries that are mostly black populations are in Africa And you have to understand, I mean, just looking at them, we would defeat them in a war.
Yes, but we won't. I mean, look, there's very little chance that the people of a black African nation will launch any kind of a warlike attack. It's not impossible, but it's unlikely, okay?
I mean, look at South Africa. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's a mess, and that's a whole nother show. But I'm saying on the chance that they would, given the direction of our military today, we wouldn't do anything because, well, they're black.
Yeah, you know? and that's got to stop. You know, black... This group of blacks, they want equality. Well, equality works both ways. And that's what they forget. You want what we have. We work for what we have. You want to be equal? Work for what you could have.
Right. But I want to extrapolate this theory out. Let's say we're attacked by China. Well, there's two reasons we wouldn't go to war against China. One is because they're not white. And the other is because, well, let's face it, the liberals suck up to China. Okay. North Korea, well, same thing. They're not white and, you know, they're in league with China. I mean, it literally relegates the number of countries that pose a threat to us in any way, shape, or form. You know, we wouldn't even, at this point, we wouldn't even go to war if we had to against an Arab nation or an Islamic nation because, well, you know, we got to win their hearts and minds, and they're not like us, so we can't, you know, I mean, this is what our military's coming to, and if that's the case, we shouldn't even have a military because it's useless.
Well, even worse, if that's how our military is going to be, our nation will collapse because our military is not just needed overseas. Our military is needed here on American soil.
Exactly.
And if they're useless here on American soil because of mandated political correctness, our nation could collapse.
That's just the point. And that's why you wrote an op-ed under the title of How a Nation Collapses, because that's how it happens.
Right.
You know? Folks, look, there's a lot of... It's not a long op-ed, but there's a lot of information in there that you need. So what you need to do is go to Diane's blog at thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com or rspradio1.com. The link is there in both places. Grab the link and share it. Get the word out because this is what it's coming to. And mark our words, if this continues for another 2, 3 years, 4 years, this country is done.
It's in bad shape now with Obama. Through Biden, who now is leading our military. You know, they're more concerned about, oh, we have to take transgender into the military and we have to pay for surgeries and we have to be politically correct. They're more concerned about that than they are being the fighting force that our military was and should always be.
Consider this. You know, Trump rebuilt the military from a hardware standpoint, right?
Right.
Rebuilt the Navy, new jets for the Air Force. The B-21s are coming in a couple of years. Upgraded the Army and their equipment and everything. Well, there's nothing the liberals can do about that. But if you put people in the theaters of war or potential theaters of war, if you stock the military with idiots like this General Milli Vanilli and soldiers that will do the woke thing rather than the right thing, right? Yep. All the hardware in the world isn't going to matter because they won't pick up a gun and use it. You may as well be the freaking French.
Yeah, it's very sad what's happening to our military. But know from what we hear on the inside, the rank and file military are not happy with what's going on.
No, and that's a good thing, but
Yes.
Like you mentioned in this piece, those people are going to get weeded out. They're going to get blown out of the military. And, yeah. and they're going to start restocking the military with people that think like Milli Vanilli.
Oh, God.
You know,
God help this country, right?
How a Nation Collapses. It's the perfect title for this op-ed, and it's something that every American should be extremely concerned about.
Well, guys, we can change it in 2022. You know, we've got to start the push with no Dominion machines allowed to be used.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You know, we're in a bad spot right now.
Yes.
No mistake about it. We're in a bad spot. This really is a great op-ed to get people to think about what's coming. You know,
right.
And I mean, if you don't know the players, if you don't know the general, if you don't know the professor, if you don't know the inside on CRT, this is a good place to start, is with this op-ed. I mean, it just is. You know, you got to take
it's scary. Yeah. It's scary what could happen, but we still have time to prevent it from happening if our Republican politicians, if the Republicans in Congress would grow a set.
Yeah, that's a key right there.
Mm-hmm.
That really is a key right there. Go to thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com or rspradio1.com. You can get the link to Diane's op-ed right there. Get it out there. Share it. The more people that share it, the more people are going to learn. That's how this is done. You know, yes, we understand social media is holding everybody back, but the more people that share it, the more chance it has of getting out.
Yes, true. You know,
that's really what it comes down to. All right, folks, we're going to take our top of the hour break here. We've got one segment to go, and when we come back, I'm going to be talking about liberal hatred versus historical fact. If you haven't heard what some of these liberals said about the 4th of July, our Independence Day, our nation's independence, our flag, and our founding fathers, you're in for a shock here in just a couple of minutes. I'll let you know. I'll fill you in. Stay with us. There's more Right Side Patriots after this.
Hi, guys. Diane Sorey from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out the National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot and Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. Tuesday night show, 13th of July already. Holy cow. Time is flying. I just got to mention before I get into this. My wife and I were watching Tucker Carlson last night, and he was talking about stuff, and my wife looks at me when he's done. She says, "Holy crap." And I'm like, "Welcome to our world." I said, "This is the stuff Diane and I work on every day."
Yep. We live, breathe, and semi-sleep with it.
I mean, you know, she was just astonished by some of the things, and it's all true. What he was saying was all true. And it had to deal with the censorship of text messages and things like that. And Sue's like, "Holy crap." And I'm like, "Yeah, we deal with that." I said, "Diane and I have been talking about this stuff for years. We've been warning people about this stuff for years. Now it's happening."
Yeah. No, it just... you know, you get pegged a conspiracy theorist, and then it turns out, oh, wait a minute, they got it right.
Yeah, those right side patriots, maybe they do know what they're talking about, huh?
Yes.
Well, look, we've got more information to impart on you good listeners right now, and it's all about liberal hatred versus historical fact. Last week on our nation's Independence Day, Congresswoman Cori Bush, a liberal Marxist from Missouri, tweeted, and I quote, "When they say that the 4th of July is about American freedom, remember this. The freedom they're referring to is for white people. This land is stolen land, and black people still aren't free," unquote. Backing up that harpy was Shahid Buttar. Now, he's a congressional candidate and a liberal Marxist from San Francisco who's running for Pelosi's seat under the liberal bumper sticker slogan, "Resistance for Real." And he sent this as a response to Cori Bush. Quote, "Speak it at Cori Bush. It's almost as if our entire country has been brainwashed to ignore our history and how its worst elements continue today, despite our self-congratulatory rhetoric," unquote. Not to be left out of the leftist mix, former MSNBC propagandist Toure, who actually does have a last name but thinks he's too important and too well-known to use it, it's Neblet, by the way, tweeted, and I quote, "Fuck Independence Day. Not only were we not free, the whole reason the colonies wanted independence was because Britain was moving toward abolishing slavery. Why would black people celebrate a day so wrapped up in our enslavement?" Unquote. Naturally, we also had to hear from the rogues gallery of liberal Marxist celebrity has-beens, and Alyssa Milano took to her TikTok and gave us this little gem. Quote, "Reminder, the United States was founded on the unjust treatment of Native Americans, Africans, and other people of color," unquote. Yeah, Diane, I know. Look, I'm just scratching the surface here because there were plenty more idiots using our independence to bloviate their liberal Marxist nonsense, but there is something they know that they don't want us to know.
Well, you know, people like this, they really cannot believe the words spewing out of their mouths, because the words spewing out of their mouths are a bunch of crap.
Absolutely. They're full of crap, to be perfectly honest. Look, let's take Cori Bush, Shahid Buttar, and Toure Neblet as our prime examples of liberal Marxist manure spreaders. Buttar said, quote, "It's almost as if our entire country has been brainwashed to ignore our history," unquote. But he knows the truth. He just doesn't want you to know that he knows the truth. The same can be said of Bush and Neblet as well. They all know the truth and the real history. They just don't want you to know that they know. and they're going to do their level best as liberal Marxists to prevent the truth of that history from seeing the light of day in our schools or in the public square. Let's start with the absolute nonsense spewed by Neblett, who wants us all to believe that this great nation was founded to perpetuate slavery because England was moving away from it. Total BS, and the history proves it. Our independence was not declared until 1776, but what fate and history tells us in no uncertain terms is that between 1774, 2 years before we became an independent nation, and 1804, slavery ended in our northern states. Oh, yes, slavery did persist in the South, but again, as history and fate would have it, the South was controlled by the Democrat Party, the party of slavery. In fact, it was the author of our Declaration of Independence, Thomas Jefferson, whose original document called for the end of slavery, but that was removed from the final draft because those pesky Democrats in the South wouldn't vote for independence without slavery. Doubt my words? I have a link for you to go to. It explains the whole thing, and it actually gives you the part that was taken out that Thomas Jefferson wrote. Neblett undoubtedly knows this absolute truth, but he's hoping you don't know it, and if you do, he's hoping to convince you of a lie rather than having you believe in the truth, because the lie fits the liberal Marxist agenda while the truth is an anathema to it. Furthermore, when slavery did end in the South, it wasn't because of the Democrats. It was in spite of them. Black people in this country can thank a bunch of old white Republican men for that, along with hundreds of thousands of young white men who died during the Civil War to end the institution of slavery. But if abject idiots and liars like Neblett want to blame some group for what happened after the end of slavery, things like Jim Crow laws, segregation, the KKK, and so on, let them be historically accurate and blame Democrats or continue to peddle the lies by blaming all white people. By the way, Diane, party line votes, the likes of which we see today, are nothing new. In fact, when it came to ending slavery, every Republican in the House voted in favor of ending the institution, but not even one Democrat did. And over on the Senate side of things, again, every Republican voted in favor of the 13th Amendment, but only two Democrats did. You gotta love history.
Well, you know what, Craig? Now that you're saying you gotta love history, why don't you give people a little history lesson, a true history lesson about the origins of slavery itself?
I'd be more than happy to. Look, there is little doubt as to where black people in America came from. Africa. There is also little doubt as to how those black people got from Africa to our shores even before we were an independent country. They came on slave ships. What the ilk of Neblett, Bush, Buttar, and the rest of the liberal Marxists don't want you to know is that it wasn't a bunch of white guys rounding up black people in Africa and making them slaves. Those white people, Europeans, were in the receiving and shipping department of the enterprise of slavery. The rounding up of those who would become slaves was done by other black Africans. And again, I have a link. You can go to it. You can read about it. You can see the real history. If the yahoos who intentionally leave out that crucial detail care to learn something, they could start with Ancestry.com. A simple DNA test would be able to tell them what part of Africa their ancestors came from, and with a little bit more research, they could then find out what tribes lived in that region of Africa when their ancestors lived there. Do a little bit more homework, and they could then discern which tribes were warring with which other tribes, and thus narrow down what tribe might be most responsible for their ancestors becoming slaves. Simply put, enslaving black Africans would not have been possible without other black Africans being in the acquisition department of the enterprise of slavery. While Buttar claims, quote, it's almost as if our entire country has been brainwashed to ignore our history, unquote, it is in fact the liberal Marxists today who are more than happy to ignore that tidbit of history, but it remains absolutely true as a part of history nonetheless. Now then, let me address that idiot Cori Bush who tweeted on our Independence Day that, quote, this land was stolen land and black people still aren't free. Stolen, Diane? I can only assume that she's in league with that idiot Alyssa Milano who TikToked. Remember, the United States was founded on the unjust treatment of Native Americans, Africans, and other people of color.
Well, you know, from what I know of history, it actually wasn't stolen from Native Americans. It was purchased from Native Americans. Am I correct?
Well, a good part of it was. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. Much of it was purchased. Manhattan Island, the Louisiana Purchase, those two things leap to mind. A good deal of the rest of it was won in wars with the Native Americans. Winning a war is not theft, it's winning, and winning wasn't easy.
To but the victors go the spoils.
That's exactly it. But let's look at the bigger picture of history where this is concerned. And to do so, I'll draw your attention to a smaller picture. That smaller picture is called Skinwalker Ranch. It's in Utah. And aside from its rather creepy reputation as being haunted, as being cursed, as being a site of a lot of UFO encounters, the land where that ranch is today was once won in an Indian War. The white people that won that war, in case you happen to be wondering, but before the white man got it, it belonged to the Paiute Indians. But that wasn't always the case either. Before it belonged to the Paiute Indians, it belonged to the Navajo Indians. The Paiutes won it in a war against the Navajo. It's also a pretty good bet that the Navajo didn't always own it either. Before they did, it belonged to some other tribe, and they lost it in some other war, and so it goes. The Goshute Indians were there in parts of Utah, as were the Shoshone, and even the Spanish were there for a while. But if you really want to do some digging, and I mean with a shovel, human populations were living in that region 11,000 years ago. But you'd have to get roughly 11 feet below grade today to find evidence of them. Needless to say, that area has changed hands many times, and for most of it, there were never real estate agents involved. The point is, nobody is going to go back as far as an 11-foot hole in the ground for stolen land from anybody else. Some people won it, some people lost it, some bought it, and Skinwalker Ranch is but a microcosm for the nation as a whole. That we stole the land is a myth, and I've got a link there that you can go and read about that. Was everything the white man did with regard to the Native Americans the right thing to do? No, certainly not. But there are a good many Native Americans today who honor their people's history while finding ways to seize the opportunities offered today to every American, and they are the Native Americans who have found success in this world. Diane, to the liberal Marxists and far too many people of color who have hitched their wagons to the liberal Marxist pony, there is no shame in being successful, being on the right side of the law, and being self-sufficient.
Yeah, well, again, you start with skin color, we gotta end with skin color. Because according to, you know, this little trio of socialist Marxists here, skin color is what it's all about.
Well, they make the claim that black people in this country still aren't free.
Right.
Right? So are they? Are they actually free? Surprisingly, no. They're still slaves. They're still on the plantation, and they are still being oppressed. The dirty little secret that the liberal Marxists know and hope you never catch on to is that the plantation, just as it was before the 13th Amendment, is being run by the Democrat Party. The masters of people of color today are still white Democrats. The slaves today are those who find it easier to do the will of their masters rather than apply themselves in an exercise of self-reliance and seizing the opportunities available to all Americans. And those in the acquisition department of the enterprise of slavery in America today, well, those in charge of rounding up today's American slaves and selling them down the river are people like Cori Bush, Shahid Buttar, Toure Neblett, and so many other liberal Marxists, black, brown, and yes, white idiots who would rather keep people on the plantation for their votes than set them free. Don't let the liberal Marxist idiots and slave masters fool you. It's not our Declaration of Independence, but the 13th Amendment that they hate, because the last thing they want is for people of any color to be free from Democrat control. The only thing we can believe that comes out of the mouths of today's liberal Marxists is that they hate this country, and that too shall one day be a part of the history of America.
A very sad part, but it is a big part, because these people hate everything about this country.
It's not their cup of tea. They look at this country and they say, well, you know, this country could be great if people weren't free. You know, and when I hear these black morons, you know, and the rest, and the white ones too, these liberal morons, black people aren't free today. Black people, they're right. They're not. They're being enslaved by the Democrat Party.
Yeah, I even mentioned that in my article. The slave masters of today's black people remain the Democrats.
Just as it was before the 13th Amendment.
It's mental slave masters, but it's still slave masters nevertheless.
Yes.
And the constant with the hands out, you owe us reparations, this and that. I'll say it again, like I've said a million times before. No one alive today was a slave. And no one alive today owned a slave. We owe you nothing.
Mouths open, hands out, pants at half staff.
Yeah. It's getting to the point of they are creating racial hatred within this country where there was none before.
Yeah.
And remember, folks, race baiting, racial hatred, it's all big business to the Democrats. They're making money off of it.
Well, not only is it big business, it is their hold on power.
Yes.
Okay. That's why everything now is race. Critical race theory. You know, this is about how they maintain control over a country. They collapse the country. They make everybody beg the government for help. And they've got everybody right where they want them.
Exactly.
I mean, this is stuff that Diane and I have been talking about for years. Literally for years. And we're seeing it play out right in front of our eyes now. We warned people about this for years. It's going to come to this, we said. This is what they're aiming for, we said.
We were right.
Yeah, but there were people that called us crazy, people that called us conspiracy theorists. Well, you know, it's not really that bad, or it's never really going to come to that. Yeah, you want to bet?
Yeah. It is bad. It is bad, and it's getting worse, folks, because, like I said before, the Republicans in Congress are allowing it to get worse.
Yeah, they won't stand up. They, as Diane said, they need to grow a set.
They need to grow a set big time and fast. Whether it's a set or a spine, they need to grow something. Because while they're not the cause of the problem, they're contributing to the problem because they don't have the guts to end the problem.
Exactly. Now, folks, you can get this commentary two places. You can go to thenationalpatriot.com and get the link there, or you go to rspradio1.com and get the link there. Either way, share it everywhere you can. This is a very important piece of commentary because embedded in it, no videos, but three very important links. You want to know the real history of what went on with our Declaration of Independence, with slavery, so on and so on. You want to know? I've got the links in here to the real history. You know, I mean, it's going to open some people's eyes. You know, for the last year and a half now, we've been hearing, oh, Thomas Jefferson, he was a racist. No. Did he own slaves? Yes. Most people did. Folks, do you have any idea that during slavery, there were more than 10,000 black slave owners in this country?
Yes.
Okay.
That's very true.
Left out of history altogether. You know, that's not going to make it into the critical race theory end of things.
No. Critical race theory is a bunch of lies, nonsense, and liberal propaganda that is trying to be forced down the throats of white people who are buying into this nonsense.
Well, you know, nobody likes being called a racist, you know, and oh, well, maybe we should be more introspective. No, we should be more American.
Yeah, and that's another thing. Black Americans, white Americans, this American, that American. I don't put something before the fact that I'm an American, period. There's no hyphen for me. And this whole hyphen nonsense has created racism in its own right.
Hyphen is a dividing symbol. Think
about
that.
Exactly.
You know, if you're going to be African American or Japanese American or ABC-American, that hyphen is what divides. Doesn't unify,
right.
It divides.
Yes.
You know? Look, a couple of great, you know, pieces for you tonight, a couple of great segments here on the show, very important segments. Diane's op-ed is at thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com. Mine is at thenationalpatriot.com. They are both at rspradio1.com. Diane, for next Tuesday, you are working on the Cuba piece. I wish you good luck on this piece because it changes by the minute.
That's why I keep having to say as I write this, because it's changing literally by the minute.
Yeah, but I'm going to let people in on the inside here. Little behind the curtain peek at how this is being done. Diane says, you know, as I'm writing this, blah, 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 blah. You know, she lays out a thing. Well, that's fine. But then she has to go back and, as I'm writing this, take out those blahs and put in a bunch of this, that, and the other things, because
yes. It's
changing that fast.
Yes.
You know, she's been working on this for a couple of days now, and it's got to be a tough one to write because it's fluid.
It is tough.
It's fluid.
Also because, you know, I have to publish it on Monday. The show is on Tuesday. So that means I have to have it finished by Sunday. But things can happen and totally change between Sunday and Tuesday. So it's one of those things where it's got to be a little bit generic in nature.
Yeah.
But keep to the facts of what's happening.
Right. Now, for Tuesday, I'm going back to the race thing, and I'm going to open up a can of worms. I guarantee it. I've got the piece done. It's written. I haven't illustrated or, you know, done any of that yet, but it's written. I'm going to open such a can of worms next Tuesday evening on this show, Right Side Patriots. I'm going to leave some people stunned because, again, it's another foray into actual history dealing with the race issue.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna let loose. Now, I had somebody ask me today, Diane, are you going to write some more snarky stuff? We love your story. Yeah, it's coming. I'll get back to that. But, you know,
it'll get there.
This stuff is too serious, too immediate. we can't simply ignore this stuff. So I'll get back to the snark later, you know. And trust me, I'm itching to do another one of those. So, you know, that stuff's coming. Now, this Friday night, it's going to be a talk show. We don't know what's going to happen between now and Friday.
No, we don't. There's so many things going on at this point that we'll just have to pick the best of them.
You know, Biden could fall into a vat of his own pudding between now and Friday.
Oh, my God.
You never know. You never know. You know?
Yes.
But no, there's so many things going on right now, not only nationally, but internationally. The situation in South Africa is a disaster.
Yes. Very much a disaster. And there is also some ramification and fallout from what was discussed with Mudar Zahran, our guest of last week.
Right.
I've actually been taking on one of his critics on Twitter and calling him out.
Well, and that's a good thing. You know, so
yes.
we'll get you all up to speed on that. We've got the situation in Texas. There could be arrests of Texas lawmakers before we go on the air Friday.
Yes.
You know? We'll get you up to speed on whatever's happening there. You know, there's so much going on right now. And let's face it, the 2022 races are now starting to heat up.
Yeah. Yes, they are. And starting in January, folks, you'll really see things heating up as things fall more into place and certain people drop out and it should be interesting.
It's going to be very interesting. There's a recall going on of Gavin Newsom in California. We'll get you up to speed on that.
Finally.
You know, Larry Elder is going to run for that.
Yes.
For the governorship out there,
But the one I'm very interested in is the Texas race.
Right.
Because Colonel Alan West is going to take on Greg Abbott. And I'm still trying to figure out what that's all about. I've got some theories, you know, basically that it's setting the stage for Alan to possibly run for president in 2024.
We may have to reach out to Alan West. Not that he would tell us anything at this point, but
we can get him back on the show.
Yeah, we might want to reach out to him and say, at least just tell him. You know, Colonel West, when you're ready to talk about this, let us know. We'll give you a full hour.
Yeah. For people that might not know, Alan West, we call people that have been on our show a lot, friends of the show. And Alan has been on our show countless times, really, when we were on another station. And I think we can get him back again.
I think so. We're just scratching the surface of things that are going on right now. So we'll trust me, we don't know what it is yet, but we'll have plenty to talk about this Friday night.
Remember, these are our summer hours, folks. On Tuesdays, we'll have from 7 to 8:30. On Friday, we'll be strictly talk from 7 to 8. We're going to be doing one article a week for the summer, unless something major happens.
And by something major, it could include me having a deep desire to launch a snark attack. We never know. We never know. But with that, Diane, we've made it to the end of the show tonight. What do you think?
I think that's fine. So I'll say nighty-night, folks.
Good night, everybody. Have a nice evening. Enjoy the rest of the week, and we'll see you Friday. How about that?